gathered. We look at the events that's going on in this world today, and God's word tells us about four marvelous events that are going to happen in our future. Now, I say it's in the future because it's recorded in God's word and hasn't happened yet, but it is going to happen. And it is really important for you and for me as believers to know what the word of God has to say. Due to a survey that somebody conducted some years ago, they discovered that it's absolutely amazing how many church-going believers do not know what's in the Word of God. They know partly what's in the Word of God, but there are many parts that they do not know at all. So, Pastor Nate and myself, we believe it's incumbent upon ourselves to make sure that this congregation knows and understands what is in the Word of God. What are these four major events? The four major events, earth-shattering events, are going to be the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ, the seven-year tribulation period, a battle to end all battles, and then the return of Jesus he will be leading his millennial reign, millennial meaning 1,000-year reign here on earth. For believers everywhere, we ought to be echoing the words of the book of Revelation. John wrote it in the book of Revelation, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." We are at this stage now. Things are going on in this world and in our country that we do not like. We do not like it because it's moving away from the foundation truth of the Word of God. And every government, every situation, every country, every society that moves away from the Word of God are in deep trouble. They may not realize it. They may think that they have all the brilliance and all the intelligence that they need in order to lead us. But we need to base our life and our decisions upon God's Word. Regarding the rapture, it's a moment in time. It's going to be when all true believers, not all church attenders, but all true believers will be extracted from this earth and taken up to be with the Lord forever. It's an amazing event that's going to occur. Amazing event in that I don't know how the Lord is going to do it, but I thought about it for some time. The Lord created everything that there is out of nothing. The world, the universe, people in the world, all of the different forms of animals and plants and grass, you name it, God created. God, in his great imagination, created everything, and for him to rapture the church, to take everyone up out who truly believe in him at a given point in time, would be impossible for you and for me. But for God, nothing is impossible, and he will sound that trumpet, and we'll be taken up with him. I hope that you're looking forward to that day of the rapture. The trumpet will sound, and then shortly after the church leaves this earth, shortly after that, the tribulation period of 7 years begin. That 7 years, absolutely incredible 7 years, people who are left behind will not want to be here. But some of them, strangely enough, will be attracted to a world leader. Previously, we talked about one of the nine signs regarding the coming tribulation. Rapture first, sometime later, maybe days, maybe months, maybe years, probably months, will come the beginning of the tribulation period. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. There were four horsemen. These are symbols of things that are going to happen. The first was a white horse, and on it was a leader. This leader had a bow in his hand, but no arrow. Many theologians believe that this signals the fact that the rider on the white horse is going to come bringing peace to the earth. And millions of people are going to be fooled by this leader coming in. Secondly, there was the red horse. Now we get a little indication of what's going to happen. The red horse indicates a great deal of bloodshed that's going to take place. He may come as a peaceful character, but then there is going to be a lot of bloodshed for those who do not go along with his agenda. And then there's the black horse, and that black horse is a symbol of famine. Famine that's going to be on this earth. Now, you and I hear today about various parts of the world where there is poor growing, where there's going to be famine of some nature. Some of our food prices have gone up because of the decrease of supply of food. But if we think our famine this time is bad, it's going to be nothing compared to the famine that will occur during this tribulation period. And then finally, there was the pale horse, and the pale horse indicated great pestilence and disease. Great pestilence of all description, excuse me. Of all description, plagues will be coming along. It's going to affect people everywhere, all of those who have left behind. So one of the nine signs regarding the tribulation was the four horsemen of the apocalypse. There's another sign. I've alluded to it already. The other sign, the next sign, at least number two, is the Antichrist. The word Antichrist is found in John's first letter, nowhere else in Scripture, but is found in his letter. So let's take a look at three passages of Scripture that we find in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. Let us hear the word of God. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. Hold on to those words. Anybody who denies the Christ is of the spirit of Antichrist. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Now, in that passage, we recognize there were two references, three perhaps, to the Antichrist. Let's take a look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. We have false prophets in this world today, leading hundreds of people astray. They're not preaching the word of God. They're not teaching the word of God. They're not studying the word of God. We must preach and teach and study from the word of God. Verse 2, this is how you can recognize the spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. That was during the first century. But we know he's in the world even now. And then the final reference is 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7, and it reads, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You and I need to listen carefully. We need to listen carefully to TV pastors, if we're watching them, or radio pastors, or anyone else with whom we come in contact. Are they preaching from the word of God? Are they talking about some philosophy of mankind? If they are, ignore it. But if they're teaching from the word of God and they're claiming that Jesus is who he says he is, then that makes the difference. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We have to come. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to meet God the Father at some point in your existence, you've got to come to him through Jesus. You need to put your trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. He was more than just a great teacher and a great preacher. Many people think Jesus came, he lived, he died, and that was it, was over and done with. Well, you know he came. We know he came. He lived and he died, but he died for a purpose, and that purpose was to pay for your sin and for mine. Now, I know he paid for the sin of the whole world, but the whole world doesn't recognize it. Only those who recognize it are those who are believers in, followers of Jesus, who have their eternity secure in him. So we need to make sure that we do more than just believe in God and just believe in Jesus. We need to put all of our trust in him as Savior and as Lord. Now, as I was reading these descriptions of the Antichrist, I was reminded of the time of 1930s to 1940s, to the early 40s, when Adolf Hitler was moving through Europe and was swallowing up whole nations. And many believed that he was the Antichrist. He proclaimed himself as the savior of Germany. Interesting, Adolf Hitler once wrote this. He said, this is Hitler speaking, just like Christ, I have done a duty to my own people. That's what he said. Now, we all know that Adolf Hitler was nothing like Jesus the Christ. In fact, he was far more like the Antichrist than Jesus himself. Given his speeches and his actions and his absolute hatred of the Jews, it's no wonder that people thought that here was the Antichrist upon this earth. He was not the Antichrist, but he had many characteristics of the Antichrist. And there are people alive today, leaders, who have characteristics of the Antichrist. And that's why you and me, as followers of Jesus Christ, need to know the difference between what's true and what's false, what's correct by the Word of God and what is not. This morning, we looked at four references in Scripture regarding the Antichrist and by that description. But did you know that those words, Antichrist, only appear in 1 John? However, there are over 100 different descriptions of this man who is going to come to be a leader on this earth, the first white horse that comes in. Many people have studied the book of Revelation, and there are two white horses. One was this leader to which I referred, who's going to take over the control of the earth, and he is going to be Antichrist. There is another white horse coming, only Jesus will be on it, and if I understand correctly, everyone who's in glory at that time will be coming back with Jesus and will be riding horses. So if you've never ridden a horse before, you'll be riding one then. That horse must be able to fly. That's the only way I can think about it. Does the horse have wings? I don't know. Or is it just all by the power of God's Spirit? But there is a day coming when you'll be riding a horse, but look forward to it. However, the first white horse is not Jesus, it's the Antichrist, pretending to be Jesus. The second white horse is Jesus coming. There are over 100 descriptions. Dr. David Jeremiah wrote these words: the Antichrist will aggressively live up to his terrible name. He will be Satan's Superman, who persecutes, tortures, and kills the people of God, making Hitler, Stalin, and Mao seem weak and tame by comparison. Now, here are some descriptions of this Antichrist: a fierce king. This is what Daniel the prophet called him. A master of intrigue. The prince who is to come. A despicable man. Zechariah, a worthless shepherd. Thessalonians, the one who brings destruction. Now, when he appears on the scene, he will appear as though he's going to bring unity and peace. But the end result of his agenda is destruction, and he will oppose everyone and everything that is against him. In 2 Thessalonians, the lawless one. In the book of Revelation, he's referred to as one of the two beasts. In the midst of our receiving all of this, you might observe, have an observation, and you might have a question. The observation might be this: the rapture will remove all true believers in Jesus Christ as Savior from the face of the earth. That's the observation. The question which you might have is, therefore, why do I need to know about whatever happens following the rapture? Good observation and good question. We need to know God's timetable so that we can keep the future events in order, so that we would understand what's going on. For example, there are many people who feel that we are in the tribulation period today. We are in a period of tribulation, and those tribulations will likely increase, but it is not the tribulation that appears in Scripture. And let me go on a little tangent just for a moment. I believe the rapture is going to occur. Every true believer is going to be taken up. I preach it and I teach it. And then follows the tribulation. But there are those who believe that Christians, the church, will go through part or all of the tribulation. I don't believe that, I don't teach it, and I don't preach it. But I am open to people understanding that and believing it. If that's your belief, praise be to God. But be warned of this. If that is your belief, if you believe we are going through part or all of the tribulation, then you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared for the worst time on earth that you're ever going to have. You better stock up on food and drink and supplies and gasoline and everything that you can think of. You need to make sure that you go someplace where you're not going to be found. You will be, ultimately. You'll be found. But you need to do all that preparation, because if you do not put your trust in Christ, and if you, I'm sorry, I misworded that. If you believe in Christ, put all your trust in him, and if you believe you're going to live through part or all of the tribulation, then you better be prepared to do so. I'm not stocking up on food, personally, or drink or anything else, because I believe that the rapture is coming first. Now, if I'm wrong and you're right, then get ready. I'm going to knock on your door.
Amen.
Amen. I keep thinking about what's going on today. We hear an awful lot about climate change. I'm getting tired of hearing about climate change. And anyway, if people think, our governments think, that climate change is bad now, wait until the tribulation. And it is going to be unheard of. It's going to be worse than you could ever possibly think of. It's not now gearing up to the tribulation time, but during the tribulation, it will be a cataclysmic event. Further, when we know in advance what's going to happen, we ought to be more motivated to share our faith with unbelievers. Because if they continue to be an unbeliever, then they are going to go through the tribulation. They're going to miss the rapture call whenever it occurs. So if we have family members or neighbors or friends that are clearly unbelievers, we need to do something about it. God gave us all this information in the book of Revelation and elsewhere, not to scare us, but to prepare us. Prepare us so that we will be able to preach and teach and give an example to our family and friends. We need to pray for all our family members who are unsaved, because they're going to go through an absolutely terrible time. Some of them, during the tribulation, may then put their trust in Christ. Remember, the church is gone. They'll put their trust in Christ. They're no longer part of the church, or won't be part of the church, but they'll be part of believers during that tribulation period. We may have husbands or wives or children or parents who know not Christ as Savior. We need to pray for them that they will come to know Jesus as Savior and put their full trust in him. Now, what about this Antichrist? What about this one who is coming? I do not believe he's here on earth yet, but I believe he's coming. And if he is here on earth, then he is being prepared by none other than Satan himself. This leader, there are three items I'm going to talk about him today. He's going to be charismatic, he's going to be cunning, and he's going to be cruel. Charismatic, cunning, and cruel. He will be a charismatic leader. There's an old saying, which is lead, follow, or get out of the way. Now, that applies here on earth. With the Antichrist, he is going to lead. And if you don't follow, he'll take you out of the way. So just keep that in mind. You don't want to be part of the tribulation. You don't want to miss the rapture. Daniel the prophet described it this way. After this, I, Daniel, saw the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, and there were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. Now again, another little tangent. Daniel wrote that some 2,500 years ago. This proves even yet the value of the Word of God, and that the Scripture is the Word of God. 2,500 years ago, he wrote these words, and it hasn't occurred yet, but it is going to occur, and he was describing this one who is coming as the Antichrist. We must always keep in mind that absolute everything about the Antichrist and his philosophy and whatever he's teaching and preaching will be anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-Jew, anti-the Word of God. He will be against everything that God stands for, even anti-creation. He's already had a good mark on that when he tried to teach people about evolution and many millions of people have been believing it. It's not evolution. We're not here by an evolutionary process. We are here by God's creation. Praise be to God. We must not be fooled into thinking that when this one comes, this world leader, that he's going to come like the cartoons indicate, dressed in a red suit with a tail and horns and a pitchfork in his hand. He's not going to come that way. If he did, everybody would know who he is. He's going to come, and I believe he's going to be the most attractive, the most handsome, the most charismatic kind of person that this world has never known up to this point. Put all of the good items of any leader throughout the world. This man will have them all. And people will be fooled. They'll be sucked into his deception. I think he will be charismatic. He'll be handsome. He'll be eloquent. He'll have a personal magnetism that will draw people to him. Years ago, when Linda and I were in the Middle East, we were in Egypt. We were in Turkey. And when we were in Turkey, our guide said he listened to their leader. Now, I don't know if the leader was Erdogan, who is the present leader or not, but I think he was. And our guide said, I went to his rally. He had the most mesmerizing voice I have ever heard. He said, I was frightened of him. I was drawn to him, but I was frightened of him. And he hoped that that person would never get in as leader. Whether he did or not, I can't answer that question. But I kept thinking, mesmerizing, frightened, and yet drawn. That's what this Antichrist is going to be like. He's going to be mesmerizing. He's going to suck people in. People are going to be fooled. They're going to follow him. Praise be to God that there will be some who will not be fooled, and they will give their life to Jesus, even though it's going to be very difficult for them. The scripture tells us in Revelation, this golden tongue orator, he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies against God Almighty. This is what Daniel says. He looked more imposing than the others. He was an imposing and will be an imposing leader. He will deceive many. Not only will this Antichrist be a charismatic leader, he will also be a cunning leader. Daniel, that great man of God, prophet of the Old Testament, he said, I was considering the horns, and there was a horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out of by the roots. Now, we might say, what on earth is that all about? Well, the first thing, when you see the word horn, almost in every case in Scripture, it refers to power. It refers to leadership. And so when he saw these three horns and another horn coming up out of the midst, this is interpreted to mean these are three powers of some nature, three leaders, and the other horn coming up in the middle, and that he's going to take them over by intrigue. Then we discover that he's going to take over even more than that as time goes on. This world leader subdues three other leaders by plucking them out of their roots. The man will squeeze out the old to make room for the new. He will take over three kingdoms, one by one, not making more, but by political manipulation. He's crafty. He's a crafty and a cunning leader. And that's how he's going to gain his strength, slowly but surely, and finally have control over the entire world. Daniel says, this world leader shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. That means not war. By political cunning, he's going to come in. Someone has concluded that the Antichrist will be a political genius, a masterful diplomat, and a clever leader. Well, he will be a charismatic leader. He will be a cunning leader. And hear this, he will be a cruel leader. Make no mistake about it. This is a man who will be a wolf in sheep's clothing. Once again, we refer to Daniel the prophet. Daniel says, this fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trample it down and crushing it. He, this leader, will speak against the Most High. This is speaking blasphemies against God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. and oppress his saints. Now the saints, all believers in Christ are saints. That's the scriptural definition. The church is gone. Who's left? People who are left behind were not believers. Some will become believers. Those who become believers are not part of the church, but becoming believers during the tribulation, they are still referred to as saints. Saint is not someone that's elevated to that position by a particular denomination. We are all saints, believers in Jesus Christ. So, he will speak against the Most High and oppress the saints and try to change the set times and laws. I've often wondered what that meant. I wonder, is he going to try and change the law of gravity? Is he going to change all the human-made laws on earth, even the ones that were based on the Ten Commandments? Is he going to change the times? In other words, are we going to have a 100-hour day or a 24-hour day or 7 days in a week or 10 days in a week? I don't know. But the scripture says he's going to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time and a half a time. For a time, times, and half a time. That's 3.5 years. The Antichrist is going to devour the whole world. He will trample everyone under his diabolical feet. What does the word diabolical mean? It means unholy, evil, hellish. We need to keep in mind that the true church of Jesus Christ, all true believers and followers of Jesus in the church age, will go to heaven via the rapture. During the tribulation, as I mentioned a moment ago, there will be people who will be confronted with the gospel. They will accept Jesus as Savior. They will be sad that they hadn't put their trust in him prior to the rapture, but now they're going to do so, and they're going to be under great persecution. And many, in fact, will be killed for their faith, their newfound faith. This world will be completely controlled by the Antichrist. This is somewhat reminiscent to me, when you study history, of the Emperor Nero in Rome. The Emperor Nero, the way he persecuted the Christians. There are some things that I can hardly even believe that happened. For example, he lined a pathway that he was traveling with Christians being burned at the stake to give him light to get from point A to point B. Can you believe that this happened in the past? It did. The Antichrist is going to be even worse than Nero. We also know that many tribulation believers, church has gone up in the rapture, in the tribulation, those who become believers will be executed for their faith. And for many of them, it'll be better to be executed than to stay there and be tormented and tortured by the Antichrist. Executed because they know that they will immediately leave here and be present with the Lord forever and forever. So what's the conclusion? A world dictator is coming, and God's word tells us about it. As I said earlier, not to scare us, not to prepare us, so that we know what's going to happen and we can pray for those who do not know. He will be a charismatic leader, a cunning leader, and a cruel leader. I want to read these words from Revelation. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who are on the earth. The hour, the ultimate hour of trial, is the tribulation. The church of Jesus Christ is going to be kept out of that tribulation. That's my belief. That's what I teach. We need to pray to that end. It's my prayer that all present today have put their complete trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Pastor Nate gave that invitation earlier today in this morning's message. I pray that you have put your trust in him. If you have not, I heard what Pastor Nate said. He said, if you haven't, do so today before you leave these doors. I don't know when that trumpet's going to sound. It may happen in the next 5 minutes. It may happen tomorrow, the next day, or next week, next month. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. And only those who put their trust in Christ, full trust in him, believe in who he is and what he's done for them, that he's paid the price that we could never pay. Only those are those who are going to hear that trumpet and are going to be with him forever. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you for your love, your care, your blessing, your ongoing love, your ongoing care, your ongoing blessing. We praise you for the privilege that you have given to us, you've extended to us in giving us your word, so that we will be fully prepared. We will not go the way the world goes. We'll not listen to what's going on in the world from the world perspective. We will look at it from your divine perspective. We praise you and we thank you. Speak to our hearts this hour. If anyone is in this building today who has never given their life to you, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit and draw them to you, that they will accept you, Jesus, as their Savior and Lord.